Good morning, church. How y'all doing? Come on, let's give God a big hand. You got to be excited about Jesus today. Wow, I get to bring the word to you today. Thank you, gentlemen. School of Ministry, listen, I want you to take out your phone. I want you to use the QR code there. Pastor Nick, thank you for that big, huge invitation for everybody there. How many of y'all believe that there is more to grow, more to learn, more to do here in White Oak, Pennsylvania? And how many of you believe that God can use the person you're sitting next to do it? Then nudge them and say, the school is for you. Come on, there we go. No, I want you to, but listen, I want you to do something for me. Whenever you look at the school and you go on the website of there and see how much it is, don't get sticker shock. Get in love with Jesus Christ and what he asked you to do. No, I mean it. You got to get a word from God. This is what he wants me to do. Then you make sound decisions about what to do. But if you start with only what you can do on your own, you're never going to experience what God can do through you. Are you with me? So I want you to, I'm inviting you because I believe that there's going to be a rally of people that are going to do ministry here around Pastor Nick even better than we are right now. We're doing great, but how many of y'all know we can get better? Come on, somebody. Come on, and that's what this is all about. So get registered, get on there, ask questions, and let's do this together. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Here we are with the red letters. This is the last letter in the book of Revelation that's written to a church. So I get the privilege of bringing the last one. Now, to understand the letters in the Bible, and even to understand the Bible, you need to understand the culture that it is written to, because it was a totally different culture than we are in right now. Now just to give you an illustration of that, I was in a coffee shop recently with Pastor Nick, and we were at the register here. We ordered, and I was getting teased by the fire generation, by anybody under 50. You're part of the fire generation. Where's the fire generation? Wow, that was not real fiery there. That was like, where's the fire generation? Come on, under 50. Come on. Now the focus generation over 50. As always, we win. Come on. They're well rested. He looked at the girl that was, you know, at the register, and I get teased for never eating at Sheetz before. Now Sheetz is a gas station, okay? And I heard they sell food, but I've never eaten there. A local institution. And Pastor Nick looked at the young lady there, and he goes, "Can you believe he's never eaten at Sheetz before?" And she went, "She did." She looked at me, and she goes, "Are you not from here?" And I went, "No, I was born and raised here all my life." And she goes, "It's the only place to eat after 12 midnight." And I said, "That's why I've never been there. Because wise people are asleep after midnight." Come on, somebody. Yeah, see, but you're going to understand the culture. See, you got to understand the culture. You really, really do. And so that's what I'm going to try to do here at the beginning. We're going to be in Revelation chapter 3, the church of Laodicea. But you've got to understand the culture in Laodicea to understand what Jesus wrote to them. Y'all good? Laodicea was a very wealthy place. They prided themselves in being very, very wealthy. As a matter of fact, when an earthquake destroyed their town, the Roman government came in and wanted to rescue them and give them government money. And they said, "No, we got this ourselves." Can you believe that? They said, no, they rebuilt their own town. They didn't even need government help. I think that's pretty wealthy. Come on, somebody. And so not only that, they also prided themselves in the textile industry. They produced fashion. Now, this was where, like, Calvin Klein was, Gucci was, all those other things like that. That's all I got. That's all I got. After that, Nautica, is that cool? It's old man stuff. I don't even know. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Don't knock it till you try. Come on, somebody. But they produced clothing, very high fashion, and they also produced an eye salve. That means they healing for eyes. They produced an eye and they sent it all over the world. So they prided themselves on these things. You got to understand that. See, when you understand that, you start to understand the words here. Not only that, they had no water supply in Laodicea. So the water supply came from 6 miles away from a hot spring, and through aqueducts, they would literally bring the water into Laodicea, okay, much more crude than what we have today in our day and age. And so the water would arrive lukewarm. So they understood lukewarm. So like that was just like they didn't have their own. But it also, follow me here, because the water supply came from outside, it was very easy to control the city or overtake the city. All you had to do is stop the water supply. They had no control of it. So they were very good at compromising with the enemy. So in their culture, they had to keep making deals with enemy armies so they wouldn't cut off their water supply so they could live. So they compromised in what was typical there. Not only that, Laodicea means rule of the people. That means the people ruled Laodicea. It was a democracy. It was mob rule. It was whatever is most popular wins. Now, we need to be careful, and why am I saying this? Because if we're not careful, the culture that we live in will creep into the church, and we will start to reflect our culture rather than being the influence on our culture. You see, we'll start to make deals with the enemy. We'll start to say, hey, it's not so bad, and we'll do all those things. Come on. But what we need to realize is God wants us not to compromise, not to be indifferent, and he doesn't want a rule of the people, popular opinion. Listen, we have God rule. We have God ruling us. We have the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit. We have good, godly elders in our church that help rule and lead us here. Come on, we have principles and order and values. This is what's going to lead us, not the culture. See, we all come in with a mindset of the good old USA. And we don't realize, but it's in there. And that's what I believe. If we don't understand these things about Laodicea, we're gonna get trapped. Are you ready for the word of God, all y'all? Yes. Oh, I mean, hey, Yen's ready. Yen's, I'm sorry, forgot what culture I was in. Didn't those people in the video talk funny? They talked really funny there. Come on, I thought they did. And when I'm down there, they make fun of me all the time. Come on. So Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, here we go. Write to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. How many of you all excited about the beginning of God's creation? Yes. How many of you all know that you're part of the beginning of what God does and he creates in us, the beginning of creation, newness of life? I don't know if you're excited about it, but I'm excited about it. Come, the newness of life, the beginning of what God does here. And so what Jesus is starting to say here, here's a message. But when he puts the word the, or I'm going to use the word the, in front of faithful and true, in the Greek language that this was written in, that's a really big word. It's not just an add-on. It would be like saying, it wasn't just a pizza, it was the pizza of all pizzas. It wasn't just a game, it was the game of all games. It really changed the course of the whole season. See, what Jesus, I believe, is starting off saying here, he's not just a God, he's the God. He's the one faithful, the one that's true, the faithful witness here. What he's contrasting is y'all aren't so faithful. And you're not walking in truth. But he is the one that's faithful and true. Aren't you thankful for the faithful and true one? That's what he starts off saying here. You see, but if we miss that just casually looking at it, casually breezing over it here. Verse 15, I know all the things you do. How many of y'all know when Jesus says, I know all the things you do, he means he knows all the things you do? Now listen, remember, he's not speaking to individuals only as you as an individual. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to all us-ins. He's speaking to us. What I'm challenging us to do today is listen through the ears of a church. Yes. We as his people. Yes. Because again, the good old USA creeps in and we read it and we think very individualistic. Well, how's this going to affect me? Today, it's all about we. Okay, nudge your neighbor. Say it's about we. Okay, it's about we. It's about us. It's not just about you. It's about us. And so he says, I know all the things you all do here. And that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other here. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. I don't know about you, but being vomitous for Jesus is not a good thing. Come on, somebody. Now listen, I hope the creative team is listening. I always wanted a shirt. Lukewarm Christians make me vomit, God. Now, I think that would be a really cool shirt. How many of y'all want in on this ground floor? How many of y'all would like nobody here? One? Okay, two, three. Okay, you want in on this? I'm telling you, they're going to sell. They're going to sell really big, okay? You're going to wish you were in on it, okay? How many of y'all would wear one of those? Yeah, the same people. Yeah, come on. But this is what he said. Lukewarm Christians make me vomit here. That's what he's saying. So what is he really communicating here? That's what it is here. It's hot or cold. Now, when you go into a coffee establishment here, now, how many of y'all have ever bought coffee? Okay. And how many of you would prefer the free coffee at church than the one you buy? Come on, yeah. Okay, but when you go in, what they say, like, hot, like you say, I want a caramel macchiato or a latte. What's the next thing they say? Do you want that hot or cold? Did ever once did they say, would you like that lukewarm? Did ever once they say, would you like that lukewarm? I mean, when you order something in a restaurant, did they ever say to you one time, do you want that lukewarm? Would you like a lukewarm meal? Doesn't that just sound home of the lukewarm meal? Home of the lukewarm coffee. Come on. Would that be anything there? See, what would that be? You're like, what? But see, what is he saying here? What is he saying? He's saying ice and boiling are extremes. God is a God of the extreme. Yes. No, you got to catch this. He's not a God of the halfway, not a God of the indifference. He's a God of the extreme. So what does this really mean? When you drink something cold on a hot day, what is it? It's refreshing. Isn't it good? Yeah. Now, on a cold day, you drink, what do you want? You want a hot cup of coffee, right? Or a hot cup of something. And was it soup. I want some soup. I don't want lukewarm soup either. I want real, come on. And it warms you, right? It's medicinal. It's healing. Am I right? So could it be what Jesus is saying? In my church, I want you to be refreshing to people, and I want you to be healing. But sitting in the middle isn't going to do anybody any good. Trying to sway everybody's popular opinion and trying to make everybody happy is never going to work. Does that even work in your home? Okay, if you have kids, just say no in Jesus' name. Come on. Am I right? No, that's what, could it be that's what Jesus is saying here? To be effective, we can't be lukewarm, uninvolved, passive. Just in the middle there, being extreme. You see, when you're lukewarm, you're indifferent. You're on cruise control. You're just kind of like, everything's okay here. Now listen, God is into extremes. Look at the Bible. Noah, he was a man of extreme. Abraham, extreme. David, extreme. Paul, extreme. Jesus, extreme. They were extremes. That's where he works. That's where he does his best work here. They weren't people of compromise or indifferent or just going through the motions here. Jesus didn't die on the cross for us, his church, give his life, give us the Holy Spirit so we could just get by being average. Listen, that's not why he did it. There's more for you. There's more for me. That's what he is, a place that we can get healed and refreshed. See, when you're lukewarm, it's just another prayer meeting. It's just another worship time. It's just another small group. It's just another teaching. It's just Pastor Nick up there talking.
How come you didn't say your name?
Well, I said your name. Because they're burning hot when I'm here. Come on. I got the microphone. Keep him off, Maria. My wife's back there too. She might want you to. Yeah. No, listen. It's just another this. It's just another that. It's just another offering. It's just another thing. It's just another season. It's just another year. Come on, that's lukewarm. Compromise creeps in. Lukewarm is just like nothing, man. We're just kind of getting by here. We're on cruise control. That's what he's doing here. You say in verse 17, I am rich. I have everything I want. This is Jesus saying, you say you got everything you want? This is what he's saying here. And I love what Jesus says here. He says, no, you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Welcome to Bridget City Church. Come on. Come on. Isn't those just warm, fuzzy words? Everybody says Jesus is a Jesus of love. But to his church, he speaks truth. How do you know you're at a good church? Because they irritate you. No, I'm serious. They're irritating the hell out of you. You got to catch that. And because they're irritating, it's like challenging you to there's more of Jesus that we can experience. Am I right? That's how we know it. That's how, and he says, listen, you're wretched. You're like calloused. You're just kind of like, you're just there. You're in need of mercy and you don't even know it. You're miserable. And there's nobody more miserable than a lukewarm Christian. You want to know why? You got too much of Jesus to fit into the world, and you got too much of the world to fit in with Jesus. And you're just trying to, you're just swaying all over the place, and you're wondering why this whole thing isn't working. It's time to get out of the middle and say, I'm going to get refreshed. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to move forward. Come on, somebody. And he says, listen, you think you're rich. You think you're so wealthy. Listen, we live in the wealthiest country in the world. Are you with me? All of us are in the top couple percentiles of the most richest people in the world. We don't feel like it. Because we're just looking at us. We're looking at our lack. We're looking at these things. He said, you're poor. You're naked. You think you have the best of fashion, but you don't. You think you see, but you don't. Get your eyes healed. See, he was speaking their language here. When they knew what lukewarm was, they knew what being in the middle was all about here. So what does Jesus say in verse 18? So I advise you. How many of y'all know when Jesus advises you, you need to listen? Am I right? Jesus has advice for you. That's why we're here, getting advice from Jesus. We're like, are we going to do what he says? Are we going to hear him? Are we going to hear through godly men and godly women? That's here. He says, I'm going to advise you something here. I'm going to get you here. He says, buy gold from me, isn't it? See, he uses the same themes because he's speaking their language here. Yeah, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. And buy white garments from me so you will not be ashamed by your nakedness here. And ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. He says, you have all these things in the natural, but Jesus is using a contrast. You don't have them in the spiritual. You see, Laodicea was known for producing a glossy black wool. As a matter of fact, sheep in the surrounding region, they were known for being literally the black sheep, because they had wool that they produced. So Jesus is saying, listen, you need to cash in what you got in the natural for what I can give you in the spiritual. White is a symbol of purity. It's a symbol of clean. It's a symbol of what the blood of Jesus can do for us. Are you with me? We sang it today. The blood of Jesus, it cleanses. It takes me from darkness to light, from dead to alive. He said, cash in all that stuff and get what you can only get from me. This is my advice for you. See, we've been searching. There's people in the room right now. We've been searching. We've been looking. We've been going all around here and there. But do we have brand loyalty? Now, how many of you like Starbucks coffee? How many of y'all like Starbucks coffee? Okay, about 5, 6. Okay. How many of y'all like Dunkin'? How many of y'all like Dunkin'? Dunkin'. Oh, there's more hands for Dunkin'. Okay, now they're boldly. How many of y'all would just rather come to church and get it for free? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Yeah, that's the best one. But there's brand loyalty, right? Everybody got brand loyalty. We got this brand, we got that brand. We got Apple products, or we got them other ones. Okay? Some people like Ford or Chevy or Honda or whatever it is. We all got our brand loyalty, right? We all got, this is the one. When you go to the store, you got like, there's certain things you can buy generic and there's certain things you can't. Come on, somebody. Am I right? There's certain things. Yeah, real paper towel family, okay? Yeah, don't skimp on the toilet paper. I mean, come on, somebody, yeah. Yeah, like, come on. But we all got brand. But do we have it with Jesus?
Yes.
Do we have loyalty to Jesus and his brand? What he says, is it the only one? Or is it just one of many? That's what I'm trying to say to you. Is Jesus just another choice here? That's what I believe Jesus is saying to them here. Man, you got to get it together here. See, stop being self-sufficient. Be God-dependent. God is taking us from self-sufficient to God-dependent. Are you coming along?
Yes.
Come on, are you going to come along?
Yes.
See, we're going to go into a season here where God is challenging us, and God is prompting us to have faith. Because if faith pleases God, how many of y'all want to be pleasing to God?
Yes.
Then you're going to have to step into a deeper faith, because faith is the only way to please God. And so we want to be pleasing to him. We got to be in faith. And God is taking our church on a journey this fall of faith. He's taking us on a journey that we're all going to respond as a church, as a people. And we're going to respond together in faith, not according to what we have, but according to what Jesus has. Come on. Are you ready to take steps of faith here? So he says, I correct, verse 19, and discipline everyone I love. I'm so thankful I still get disciplined by God. No, I'm thankful because that means he still loves me. It's like a good coach. When your coach stops encouraging or stops challenging you, it means they've given up on you. This is as good as it gets. Pastor Nick, he's not afraid to keep challenging you. He's not afraid to keep disciplining and challenging. Hey, how you doing? Have a seat. Poor guy.
He's rich.
He's rich. Hey, he's not poor. He's rich.
Amen.
Amen. He don't look miserable either. He looks happy up there. Come on.
Amen.
No, come on. Pastor Nick's challenging you today. Why? Because he believes in you. He believes in us. And he believes this isn't as good as it gets. So God challenges everybody he loves here. So be diligent. Turn up the heat. How do you get extreme? You got to turn up the heat. God's saying turn up the heat. He's saying get it as high as you can. It's time to get to boiling. That's what he's saying. Do you want to be an extreme for Jesus? Let's turn up the heat. Let's get it to boiling. And then he says something crazy. Jesus stands and he's knocking. And this breaks my heart because this is what the truth is. He says, I'm standing at my house and I'm knocking. Why would Jesus stand and knock at the door of his house? This, and the more I read this week, the more it broke my heart. Last week, Pastor Nick preached a great message about Philly, and they were the church of the open door. Laodicea is the church of the closed door. They're closed off to Jesus. How do we get there? Let me ask you, men specifically out there, when you came home and your kids are there and your wife's at home, how many of you, when you get home, you knock on the door? Hey, can I come in? Hey, is it okay now? Is it safe now? I mean, I ain't doing that. We don't do that. Coming home. I walk in. Me and the bank own this place. Come on, somebody. Well, no, I own it. I'm paying for it. I live here. I don't got to knock on my door. When I come to your house, I'm going to knock on the door because I don't live there. You got to. Come on. See, Jesus is knocking and he's saying, can I come in and be with you? And he says, I want to have a meal with you. This meal is just not, hey, let's just see what you got. No, this is the meal. This is the ending meal of the day where there's intimate conversation and fellowship, where there's an intimate connection. It's what we all long for. It's an intimate connection with God. And what he's saying to us, his people, he's standing, he's knocking. Come on, he's knocking. He's saying, will you let me in? Can I come in with you once again? Can I be with you? You look good on the outside, but let's get good on the inside. If you're here today and you're just saying, you know what? Yeah, there's a little bit of compromise. There's a little bit of indifference. There's a little bit of coasting. I'm sitting in the middle, but it's time for me to get a little more extreme. Summer's over. It's time to come back. Come on, if that's you and you're just saying, you know what? I want to turn up the heat a little bit in my life. Just stand to your feet right now. That's all. That's all you're saying. That's all you're agreeing to. I just want to deal with compromise. I just want to deal with it. I just want to get rid of it here. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I got to do. That's what I got to be here. And in verse 21, those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. See, those who are going to be victorious are going to overcome. They're going to overcome indifference. How many of y'all need to come? We need to overcome compromise. Come on. Am I in the right place today? We need to overcome some bad thinking about selfishness and self-dependence. And God's just somewhere out there. And we need to invite him back in. Are you ready to invite Jesus into his house today? No, are you ready to? So that, I don't know where you are with your relationship with God, but would you do me a favor just where you are? I just want to just take a moment, and I just want to surrender to Jesus. Will you surrender to him with me? No, with your hands, just say, God, here. Just in, you invite him in. God, because this is written to a church, not to a pastor, to a church. So God, Jesus, we invite you into Bridget City Church to change us, transform us, that there would be no compromise, no indifference, Lord God, no lackadaisical, Lord God, no halfway, no sitting in the middle, Lord God. Burn in your church once again. Jesus, turn up the heat. Come on, can you pray that prayer right now? Jesus, turn up the heat on our lives together. Lead us in faith, Lord God. Lead us in faith, Father. Come on, just in your words, just present your heart to God today. Just saying, here it is, Jesus. It's your church. It's not my church. You paid for it. You bought it, Lord God. You created it for you and your good and for your purposes. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Whatever area of compromise, you just deal with it right now. Thank you, Lord. And so right now, just stay in that moment. Just you can just put your hands down. Just stay right here. I also believe that there's a moment here where Jesus is there. He's knocking. He's knocking on individuals too. Because there's individuals here who have not surrendered their life to Jesus Christ. Do you have a day or a moment that you've surrendered to Jesus, to him, that he became the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future? If you didn't, that's why we're here today. Would you open your heart to Jesus today? Would you open the door of your heart and say, Jesus, forgive me of my past. Lead me to my future. Jesus, be the new beginning, the second chance that I long for and I need. So right here in this moment, when we're all just responding to God, if you don't have a date or a time, but you want today to be your date, your time, your moment with him, this is what we're going to do right now. I'm going to count to three, and you're just going to slip up your hand, and we're going to pray for you. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pray for you and believe God for a new beginning, a new heart, a new way, and let Jesus into your life. Jesus, be the forgiver of my past, the leader of my future. So I'm going to count to three, and then you just slip up your hand. One, two, three. Just slip up your hand. Anybody in the house today, just anybody at all, just slip it up. Anybody at all. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Don't want to miss this moment right now. Anybody here? Just going to let it sit there. Most important thing I could ever ask you. Right here, right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anybody? Thank you, Father. Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus, for such a great, great group of people, Lord. Lord God, move in our hearts. Move in your church. Lead us to be a people of faith, Lord God. Lead us in victory, Lord God. And may lukewarm have no place here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, thanks for being so great. If you could all be seated. Pastor Nick, I'm going to turn it over to you.